Did you like fast food when you put your hand up in the air? Put your hand in the air like you don't care. And I see that 80% of the people in this church love fast food, and the other 20% are lying through their teeth. Did somebody say, just me? Is Brianna or Christina Aguilera in the house? Lads, we don't know how blessed we are. Does anybody here have a fridge? When you have a fridge, put your hand up if there's a fridge in your house. Come on! You know all those people who say, oh, I love, I wish I'd lived in the time of Jesus. No fridge. If you wanted food, you had to kill it. No, I was going to say, if anybody here has killed and skinned an animal, but I'm not going to do that because there'll be 47 people who raise their hands. If I lived in Jesus' time and I had to kill and slaughter and pluck and chop up and skin, I'd just be a vegetarian. Because I wouldn't go to all that work. You see, there was no fast food in Jesus' time. There was nothing fast. Nothing happened fast in the time of Jesus. But I'm going to be looking today at some fast food that Jesus did. A real surprise. People weren't expecting it was fast food. And if you have any idea of the Gospels at all, you know I'm talking about Jesus feeding the 5,000. We should probably close in prayer at this stage. If you've been watching the last few weeks, I've been tracking through Mark's Gospel chapter 6, actually. Like, this is the fourth time I've spoken in Mark's Gospel chapter 6. I just love the stories of Jesus. You know when Thomas prayed for people? You know their minds? I love this old saying. Many of the older Christians will know this. They said, when we look at the world, we will be distressed. When we look at ourselves, we become depressed. But when we look at Jesus, we are at rest. Yes. And that's why I love looking at the stories of Jesus. I've always loved the Gospels. And I hope you'll come with me as we look at this story tonight and see maybe what we can learn for our lives and our situations tonight. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Yes. Will you bow your head where you are? Father in heaven, we come before you and ask, let loose your Holy Spirit to us tonight. Open up our stopped up ears. Soften our hardened hearts. Open our closed minds, we pray tonight. And let your Spirit speak to us in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people say,
amen.
Amen. We're going to pick up the story after Herod has murdered John the Baptist. That's always a good place to start. And we're going to come back into the story where Jesus had sent out his disciples. He'd sent out the 12. And he sent them out, and he gave them authority, and he sent them out empty-handed. He told them, don't take a bag, don't take money, don't take an extra change of clothing, don't take a stick. He told them to take nothing with them, and yet God provided for them all the way. We're picking up the story as they come back. Hallelujah. This is what it says. The apostles returned to Jesus in their ministry tour, and they told him all that they had done and taught. And then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this, because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. There wasn't even time to eat. They were so busy. Now, I've been busy a lot of times in my life. Very busy at some stages of my life. Unbelievably busy at certain points in my life. But I've always had time to eat. Any of the men experience that? There's always time. You see, the thing about it was, for Jesus and his disciples, it wasn't like they could stop at Subway and get a sandwich. It wasn't like they could stop off at Nando's and get a takeaway. I love Nando's. They couldn't just stop at McDonald's and get a double cheeseburger, double fries, and a strawberry milkshake. The same as for Judas Iscariot, if that's okay. They couldn't do that. So to actually prepare food, they had to have time. They had to take time to prepare food, and that meant they had to have space and they had to have time. The thing about it was, there was people always coming to Jesus. And the thing about it was, it never seemed to bother Jesus, but it was always bothering the disciples. There was, more crowds. People were never a problem for Jesus. Can I just say this to you? If people are always a problem for you, if you always find people a problem, what are you here for? What's your purpose? What's your mission in life? God loves people. He came as a person to save people. It's what he's doing. It's what he's doing here tonight. Hallelujah. It goes on to say this. So they left in a boat for a quiet place. Ha ha ha, not going to happen. Did my wife just go off?
Yeah.
Why did my wife go off? My wife went off because I just decided to give up on me. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I'm here now. Just join me. It's the batteries I'm going in that, so I'm going to switch up to the. I'm going to go on 24, 24, 24, 24, 24, am I going to go on 24? 24, John. Just shadows to sound. And they're getting to the next headland and seeing where they're going on. And as they go further and further, more and more people are following Jesus. And I have to tell you something, in the last 2,000 years, nothing has changed. Brothers and sisters, more and more and more people are following Jesus every day.
Amen.
Every single day they're following
Hallelujah.
Jesus. So they get there ahead of them. And this is what it says. Jesus saw the large crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Now when the gospel writer, Mark, is writing this, he's having a conversation with Peter, he knows what he's saying when he sees the words that they were sheep without a shepherd. And I want to just draw out something simple here. When you read your New Testament of the Bible, sometimes the Old Testament appears in the New Testament, but it appears in three different ways. The first is a direct quotation. For instance, in this case, I'll get to that. The second is what they call a citation, where it might cite and say, as the prophet Jeremiah says, that's a citation. And the third is what they call an allusion. In other words, the scripture that we're looking at is alluding to something else that has happened in the Old Testament. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Quotation, citation, allusion. That's the three ways that the Old Testament appears in the New Testament. And here's a classic case of quotation, though it isn't cited, but it is alluded and quoted, and it's this one, sheep without a shepherd. The reference here is clearly being made to 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 17. And in this story, it's very interesting. There was a really bad king, and his name was Ahab. He was evil. His parallel in the New Testament was a guy called Herod that we were looking at last week. Ahab was a bad guy. He was married to a bad woman. Her name was Jezebel. Her shadow is there in the New Testament in a woman called Herodias, who was Herod's wife. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
I know it's a bit detailed. Oh, Michael, it's too late to start. Just stick with it. The story happens that Ahab goes to war, and he gets involved in an alliance with a king called Jehoshaphat. And they go up, and they're going to go to war. And Jehoshaphat was a wise man, and he loved the Lord. And he said, can we ask the prophet of God? And they called up this guy. His name was Micaiah. So Micaiah comes in, and they said to Micaiah, Micaiah, should we go up and fight at Ramoth Gilead? That was the place they were going to fight. And Micaiah said, of course, you should go up. You're going to be victorious. Go for it. And then King Ahab looked at him and he said, I told you before, tell me the truth. And so Micaiah looked at King Ahab and he said, I saw all Israel scattered like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord said to them, tell these people to go home because their master is dead. And the reference we're seeing here is to the fact that the King Ahab in the Old Testament was not a good king. He wasn't a true king. He wasn't a loving king. He was a selfish king. king. And the allusion is being made here to the people who are under King Herod Antipas, king in inverted commas, that they also were the exact same. They were like sheep without a shepherd. But hallelujah, the true shepherd of their souls had just stepped out of the boat. And he stood on that seashore and he looked at them and they were his flock. The true shepherd had finally arrived. That when they were scattered like sheep without a shepherd, he would be their shepherd. And again, it's another clear allusion to the Old Testament. And you'll be familiar with this. Psalm 23 and verse 2. It says, all of us, oh sorry, forgive me, I'm looking at Isaiah 53. I'll get to the Psalm in a second. Isaiah 53, listen to this. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We've left God's path to follow our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the sins of us all. You go, well, yeah, it's very deep, isn't it? Yes, it is. We all like sheep have strayed away. We've left God's paths to follow our own. And our current culture has never been more so than saying that you need to follow your own path. You need to follow your own truth. You need to live your own life in your own way. As Bon Jovi said, it's my life. That's what he said. It's my life. Tom said, just a couple of weeks ago, he was talking about Frank Sinatra. When he said about Frank Sinatra, he said, I did it my way. Did you, Frank? Nice one. Where did that lead you? Because we're being told, not only that, we are being told that it's the brave thing to do. It's the valerious, the valorous thing to do. It's valorized that we should follow our own path. Well, here's the problem. It might have worked for Frank Sinatra, who was successful, but there are 10 million others for whom it did not work. And what happens when we follow our own path and we end up at a dead end? And we end up with a broken heart, or a broken mind, or a broken soul, or a broken home, or in broken relationships. What do we do then? Hallelujah! The Lord has laid on him the sins of us all. He calls us back to himself. Are you with me?
Yes.
I get excited about this. I hope you do too. I hope you do too. Jesus gets out of the boat and he begins to teach them. And this is what it says. Jesus said himself, he said, it's written that man must not live only on bread. He must also live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And to follow your own way is to live on your own bread. And some of us are here tonight, we live on our own bread. We live our own way. Come back into God's way and he will bless you. Come back into God's way and you know the peace and the prosperity and the protection that your heart has always longed to know. Jesus here is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. He's quoting Moses' statement that God had brought the people into the wilderness. Wait for it. He brought them into the wilderness and then he fed them to show them that they must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do you see the Old Testament again? Do you see the Old and the New? That's a quote. Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8. So, let's move on with the story. The disciples, looking at the crowd, and this is what happens. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to Subway or McDonald's or Apache Pizza and get something to eat. Can you see the problem? They're in a desert place. It's a remote place. There's no shops. There's no restaurants. There's no fast food outlets. There wouldn't be for another 1900 years. There was nothing there. And the disciples spotted the problem immediately. Lord, you're going to have to send the people away. You're going to have, this is what you're going to have to go away. So it's the disciples come and bring the problem to Jesus. And Jesus, as ever, has the solution. There's a solution. Jesus said, you feed them. Sorry, what? You feed them. Do you think we can feed all these people, Thomas? No, don't. Judas, how much money is in the money bag? You feed them. With what? Hello? We have no food either. With what? We'd have to work for months. I mean, we're not going to do that. We'd have to work for months. All of these people will be starved and dead by the time we earn enough money to feed them. And then Jesus asked them, how much bread do you have? How much bread do you have? And the Lord is asking you tonight the same question. What do you have that you can give? What do you have that you can bring and that you can give that will honor God? What have you got? Because everybody's got something. You'll have talent, you'll have abilities, you'll have resources. Everybody's got something. What do you have? He said, go and find out. And they came back and reported, great news! We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Wonderful! Hallelujah! Everybody is getting a McDonald's voucher on their way home tonight, aren't they? That's all they've got. 5 loaves of bread. When you talk about loaves, we're thinking little buns. You know the backers? Little small little bun. That's all they've got. 5 of those, and they're barely, which is kind of the cheapy, manky ones. So you can read that in the other Gospels. And he says, and we have 2 fish. No, this is not the fish that got away. The big fish. The word fish that's used here in Greek is the word apsarion. And apsarion means sprat. We have, Lord, 2 sprats and 5 loaves of bread. I can't wait to see what's going to happen next. How many of the kids here love dried whole fish? Amen. We've got poachers for fish for you. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, we all know the story, but please bear this in mind. You're a disciple, okay? Forget all the fact that you're a hungry listener. For a second, just imagine you're a disciple. And all you've got is 5 Mickey Mouse loaves of bread that wouldn't even fit into that box, that wouldn't even fill that box, and you've got 2 sprats, 2 dried sprats, salted dried sprats. Wonderful. This is great. They're thinking, what's going to happen? Do you know what? They didn't know who Jesus was. They still didn't get who Jesus was. They'd seen him raise a dead girl, heal a sick woman, calm the storm. They'd seen him cast out demons. They'd seen the whole lot, but they still didn't get it. And the whole point of the Gospels being written is so that we would get what they didn't get a little bit faster than they got. You with me? That's the whole purpose. It goes on to say this. Then Jesus told the disciples to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. So you might be saying, how did they know there was 5,000 there? It's very easy. They sat down in groups of 50 or 100 and they counted the groups. It's not complicated. That's how they figured out. It was just a guess, like we didn't know. No, they counted the people. They knew how many were there. But I love that he sits them down in green grass. Remember I said that the real shepherd had no life? The real shepherd was getting out of the boat. He was the true shepherd. The sheep were scattered. Well, this is what Psalm 23 verse 2 says. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Hallelujah. He makes me where I don't wear. In green pastures. Can you see it? Can you see it? When the gospel writers go, hey, what are we thinking? He told us to sit down on the green grass. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Knowing there was some clever Trevor out there saying, ah, yeah, but the people didn't lie down. They sat down. Ah, I got to lie down. When was the last time you saw sheep sitting down? Sit! Sheep lie down, people sit down. Sheep rest by lying down. People rest by sitting down. Sometimes by lying down, but don't be too smart, Trevor, okay? Wherever you are. But can you see the allusion again? He's getting them to sit down on the green grass. And as the gospel writers are writing this, I know that Max said, that's right, man. Peter, do you not realize what's up? Peter says, yeah, he told him to sit down on the green grass. Peter, Psalm 23, verse 2, take him on and he made them lie down in green pastures. See, like I said, I get excited about this. So here we are, 5 Mickey Mouse loaves and 2 Mickey Mouse fish and a lot of hungry mouths to feed. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up toward heaven and he blessed them. And then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to his disciples so they could distribute it to the people. So he also divided the fish for everyone to share. You see, we're not told exactly what he did. I'd love to see. Like, can you just like, as he's breaking the bread, there's disciples kind of going, what's he doing? What are you doing? Keeps breaking the bread, keeps passing it on, keeps on passing it on. Same pieces of bread, keeps on passing it on, same piece of bread. Everybody, take that bread over there to that crowd, take that bread over to those guys. Simon, Andrew, go and get them fed over there. And he keeps on giving it out. And I love it, it says he looked up toward heaven and he blessed them. And he would have prayed the simple prayer of thanksgiving. I was reading Aphrodite Shem's book, it's a brilliant book, called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ, a big yoke of a book. And he said the prayer that Jesus prayed would have been the rabbinical prayer of thanksgiving. And he said the reason why it's not recorded, the wording of what Jesus prayed, is because everybody knew what the wording of the prayer was. And the prayer was really simple. And it goes like this. It says, blessed are you, Lord, Yahweh, King of the universe, who causes bread to come up out of the earth. Nice short thanksgiving prayer. And then he begins to break and he begins to distribute. And it says he kept giving the bread to the disciples. You see, the disciples only gave what they got. They didn't take up something themselves. They weren't doing the miracle. They were only passing on what God, what Jesus had given to them. And do you know something? When you pass on what Jesus has given to you, you will never go without. How do I know? Because it goes on to say this. It said everyone ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of leftover bread and fish. 5 loaves, 2 little sprats, sardines, call them what you like, and a total of 5,000 men and their families are fed. They picked up 12 basketfuls. You see, when you honor God with your time, your talent, or your treasure, when you give what God has given you, your time, your talent, and your treasure, you will never go without. You will never go without. Because it is just there. It's just the way God has always acted. It's what he's always done. And the disciples, despite giving away all that was given to them, they gave away everything that was given to them. They gave it away. They gave it away. And yet still there was plenty for them. Hallelujah. This book of Proverbs says this. The generous person never goes without. Isn't that interesting? But the stingy never has enough. The generous person never goes without. It's not the only time that Jesus fed in this way. It's not the only time that Jesus is referencing food. There's another couple of feedings, but I want to flash back to a passage in John's Gospel chapter 4. In John's Gospel chapter 4, Jesus meets a woman at a village called Sychar. The story is known as the story of the woman at the well. So he has this conversation with the woman at the well, and he meets this woman. It doesn't matter, you can fill in the blanks later. He's having this conversation with her. And while he's having the conversation with her, the disciples come back, and he had sent them into town to get something to eat. The disciples went into town, all men, thinking in the belly first, off they went to get something to eat. And when they came back, they found Jesus talking to this woman. And then this is what happens. It says, he said to them, are you food to eat that you know nothing about? He said, Lord, we just brought back food. And he said, are you food to eat that you know nothing about? What? A statement, a prophetic statement of what he was about to do for thousands and thousands. I go further, for millions and millions. Can I go further? For billions of people. He had food that they knew nothing about. And of course, being really smart, spiritually incisive individuals who really understood what was going on, they said, could someone have brought him food? Like, did someone bring him food? Did he just call, just eat? How did he get the food? And I love when Jesus says this. He says, my food, Jesus says, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus didn't go hungry because he was doing the will of his Father. When you do God's will, you also will not go hungry. You also will not go hungry. Do you have needs in your life tonight? Whatever those needs are, whether it's for food or finance, whether it's for health or healing or wholeness, if you have a need tonight, do God's will and those needs will be met. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and everything will be added to you. He goes back, might have got too fast. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or basically live rightly And all of these things will be added to you as well. They'll all be added. That's Jesus' promise. They'll all be added. And this is the disciples not seeing that Jesus was able to provide. He was able to provide for himself. He was able to provide for them. He was able to provide for the Samaritan woman. He was able to provide for the thousands and thousands who followed him, because he was their shepherd. He was their God. And even if he didn't see it, he was their true king. And anybody with their head screwed on could look at Jesus. In actual fact, in John's Gospel, chapter 6, they go to try and make him king. Anybody with their head screwed on would be able to compare the pretend king, Herod Antipas, the guy from the story we read last week, and the real King Jesus. What was the difference? Herod Antipas, he was a selfish taker. He was a murderer, he was a killer, he was a moral, he was a political opportunist. He was only the king of this tiny little territory. He was the pretend king. He was the one to whom they paid taxes. He should have been their shepherd, but instead he fleeced them. He should have been their provider, but instead they provided for him. Or with the Master Jesus. He was selfless. He was a giver. He was a healer. He was just and he was good. He was a servant of people. But all, above all else, he was king over all creation. Amen. And whatever Herod Antipas thought about himself, Jesus was the king over all creation. And I referenced it last week. Do you remember? Well, maybe you don't remember if you were here. You can watch on YouTube. Check it out anyway, for what it's worth. When Jesus finally appears before Herod Antipas, you can read it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. It says that Herod was delighted to see Jesus, because he might see him do a miracle. And it says that Herod asked him question after question, but Jesus refused to answer. And I thought at the time, and I want to add one more, that there were two reasons. One is Jesus didn't like how Herod Antipas had treated John the Baptist. Second of all, Herod Antipas hadn't listened to John the Baptist, so he wasn't going to listen to Jesus. But I think there's another reason. And this is the third reason, and the most important reason. Why did Jesus not answer King Herod Antipas? Because Jesus was the true king. And he asks the questions. He asks the questions. He's the one who asks the questions. He doesn't answer questions, he asks questions. And the day is coming when he will ask questions of every living human being who has ever lived and breathed on this planet. And on that day, when he asks that question, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The glory of God the Father. That's what will happen in that day. He's the real king. He's the one who provides rather than taking from his people. He was the true king, and he's the true king of you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus says, but you know, it won't necessarily be easy to follow Jesus. No. Amen. Let's close now. Michael, you were going fine, but then you had to say the truth. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good sermon. Amen. It won't always be easy to follow Jesus. And that's why there are so many references to overcoming in the Bible. We have to overcome difficulty. We have to overcome trouble. We have to overcome suffering. And that's in fact in Revelation chapter 22. I love this one. Sorry, Revelation chapter 2. Forgive me. Revelation chapter 2. This is Jesus speaking. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Says the Spirit says to the churches, to the one who is victorious, to the one who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. Hallelujah. I will give him some of the hidden manna. Manna, to those of you who don't know about it, is the Old Testament bread that was fed to the Israelites in the wilderness. And they put some away in the Ark of the Covenant, and they hid it away. And Jesus is saying, it's still there. And to the one who overcomes, you're going to get the hidden manna. And for some of us here tonight, we're going, Lord, how am I going to see the provision breakthrough you're going to give for me? How am I going to get that home? How am I going to get that husband or that wife? How am I going to get that breakthrough from my mind and from my body and from my soul? Hallelujah. It is hidden. It is hidden. That's why you need faith.
Amen.
To see what is hidden. Because what does Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 say this? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things we do not yet see. You see, it's all there. He's provided in the past. He's providing now. And he will provide in the future.
Hallelujah.
He saved you in the past. He's saving you now. He will save you in the future. He's clothed you with glory in the past. He's giving you glory in the present. He will clothe you with glory in the future. Can you see it? It may be hidden from your eyes, but it is there. And you will see it if you walk by faith. You will see it. Hallelujah. The Lord Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry, the old Bible commentator from the 1700s. I like the old writers. They seem to have a great insight. And this is what he said. He said, none are sent away from Christ empty except those that are full of themselves.
Yeah. Amen.
And Herod went away from Christ empty because he was too full of himself. Because he was too important in his own life. Because his power and his privilege were too important to him. So he walked away from Jesus empty-handed. One of the richest people who came to him in the scriptures, the rich young ruler, comes to Jesus and his hands are full. He says, Lord, what must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus eventually says to him, well then, you know, there's something in the way. You need to sell what you have and give it to the poor and then come follow me. He went away empty-handed. Even though he was one of the richest men in the region, he went away empty-handed. I promise you this, brothers and sisters. I promise you this. If you come to him with truly empty hands and a truly empty heart and a truly humble soul, he will fill those hands. He will fill that soul. He will fill that mind. He will fill that body with his strength, with his power, with his provision. Hallelujah. These are not just cliches, brothers and sisters. It's biblical truth. You see, we're going to come in a few minutes and we're going to break bread together. We're going to break bread together because that is, if you will, God's ultimate expression of his provision for us. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned each one to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the sin of us all. He laid it on him. You don't have to carry it. He carries it. Hallelujah. I love this. This is Paul. He's writing to the Romans, the Christians in Rome. The Christians in Rome are being persecuted badly. They love Jesus, but the minute they see it, they're in trouble with the authorities. The minute they use the words, Jesus is Lord, they're in major trouble. They lose their businesses, they lose their homes. Sometimes they lose their health and they lose their lives. But Jesus said this to people who were struggling and who were suffering. He said, since he, God, did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he give us with him everything else? Like, if he gave you his son, don't you think he can provide for every other area of your life? Do you think that if he gave you his son, his most precious thing in the universe, if he gave you that, don't you think he'll give you the other stuff you need for living your life? If he called you, don't you think he'd redeem you? Don't you think he'd save you? Don't you think he'd provide for you? That's what he's saying. He will give you everything else. Just have to say, Lord, I need you. I need you. Because God opposes the proud and he gives grace to the humble.
Yeah.
We sang that beautiful song. I think it was our happiest night last Sunday. Was that? We sang, Lord, I need you. Listen, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Sometimes when I get the host to myself, he is my one defense. He's the only thing protecting me from a ruined life. He rescued me. He rescued me. He saw me. I was blind. And he spoke to me. I go to this bunch of crazy Christians who meet in this crazy house in a crazy parish in Cork. And there's this little bit fuzzy here. He's playing the tambourine. He's a pastor now. I'm sitting in that meeting. And his wife, whom I didn't know was his wife at the time, this beautiful woman, starts telling the story, forgive me, Denise, was true, starts telling the story about how God rescued her. She was sick and the doctors didn't know what to do with her. She was sick, she was in hospital, they were worried, they were concerned, but the Lord raised her up from her sick bed. Wow, I never heard this before. But he moved in my life. Now him who gave you his son, don't you think he'll give you everything else? Even if tonight, You have gone your own way. And you know, Christians go their own way too, don't they? Yeah. No, Christians are always so humble. Christians also find themselves in trouble and dead ends. With broken minds and broken hearts and broken souls and broken relationships and broken homes. Whatever you need today, whatever you need, come to Him, admit it, confess it, and trust Him for the rest. And you will receive some of the hidden manna that you can't see now. You're going to see it in the days to come. Amen. See, Jesus declared, this is what He said. I am the bread of life. Whoever, only special people who are saintly and holy and nice to all of their neighbors, no, whoever comes to me will never, never go hungry. Have you got a hungry heart? Come to Him, you will never have a hungry heart again. Have you got a hungry soul? Come to Him, you will never hunger again. Have you got a hungry mind? Have you got a hungry body? Come to Him. You'll never go hungry again. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll never be thirsty if you come to Him. But you have to come to Him with all of your needs. Just as you are. Say, Lord, I strayed. I went my own way. I have a need. I have a sick parent who needs a touch from you, Lord. I have a sick body that needs a touch from you, Lord. Do you know what's wonderful? Can I just tell you, look, it's only a 9 out of 10, but I'll settle for it. I kind of got a 9 out of 10 touch from the Lord. A couple of Sundays ago, I was standing in the meeting here, and Steve bent to his lead in worship. He said, last night, me and his wife, Angie, he said, we were praying, and the Lord said to us, there's going to be healing in this place today. So He said, if you need healing, raise your hands. So I'm standing here in the front row, and if any of you have followed my journey, over the last 18 months I developed a thing called frozen shoulder. I couldn't raise my hand up. And so I said, do you know what, Lord? In faith, I'm going to raise my hands before You. It's not perfect, but I'll take it. It's a miracle, it's a miracle. Hallelujah. I'll take it, because the Lord's on the move. But you've got to come to Him just as you are.
Amen.
Just as you are. Lord, this is who I am. This is what I'm like. We're going to break bread. We're going to break bread together. And I'm going to, maybe the band will come up. That's maybe you'll come up. You see, the thing about it is this. You have to come to Him. So He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. All we have to do is just eat. Just eat. That's all we've got to do. Just eat. We just got to go, Lord, fill me. Fill me with Your goodness. Fill me with Your kindness. Will You stand with me? We're going to pray together. Hallelujah. I'm just going to go up the limb here. Maybe tonight there are some, I don't know, Saturday night's Monday night. Let's close our eyes wherever we are inside the room. Maybe on the stage as well, guys, if you wouldn't appreciate that. Wherever we are inside the room, if you're here today and you want to say, Lord, I want to come to You tonight. And you said, you haven't done it before. You haven't said, Lord, I come to You. I want to come to You tonight and I want to know Your life. I want to know Your life in my life. I want to know Your forgiveness. I want to know Your healing. I want to know Your wholeness. And you have never prayed that prayer before. If you're willing, will you raise your hand wherever you are and say, Lord, I want You to come into my life tonight. If you're here in the room, raise your hand. If you want to say, Lord, I want You to come into my life tonight. I see 4 hands up. I don't know you because you're in the dark, but I don't know you. So I'm going to pray briefly. Will we pray together?
Yes.
Do you know what? I said this last week. I say it again. Do you know when we pray this? Let's pray it as though we'd never prayed it before.
Yeah.
And as a reminder, as a big reset for our own souls and our own lives, and say, Lord, I need You again. Yeah. Will you pray with me? Yeah. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I come to You just as I am.
I ask You to forgive me.
To cleanse me.
To save me.
Lord, take my hand. Be my Lord.
Be my leader.
Be my friend.
Be with me.
All of the days of my life.
I pray.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's give up a little more applause for this. Just for one moment, just before we go break bread, we're going to pray this and then we'll go break bread together, okay? If you're here tonight and you have a need, You have a need. Maybe it's a need that's in your mind. Maybe it's a need in your body. Maybe it's a physical need. Like maybe it's a material need. But you come tonight, you know, I am lacking in this way. And I want to come to the shepherd of my soul and say, Lord, will you show me your provision? Will you show me your provision so that I can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. Hallelujah. If you have a need tonight, will you raise your hand wherever you are? Wherever you are. Just raise your hand. I see. Will you throw the other hand up with it? Just so that we can see it. I'm going to pray for you very briefly. I really am going to pray briefly. Lord Jesus Christ, for all of those who have a hand or hands in the air tonight, Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them as the true King of the world. I pray you would reveal yourself to them, Lord, as their shepherd, and they shall not want. Take my brothers and sisters just as they are, and save them, and heal them, and move upon their lives, Lord Jesus, so that they may return with stories of the goodness and the grace and the generosity of God. And God's people pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people say,
Amen.
We're going to break bread together, brothers and sisters, when we celebrate that Jesus is the bread of life. By breaking bread tonight, what we're saying is we're saying, Lord, we thank you for what you've already done, but we look forward to what you're going to do in our lives. Tonight we acknowledge that God has already provided salvation, forgiveness, and wholeness for our lives and for our souls. But we're saying, Lord, we accept this tonight, but we really want to know you more and see you on the move in our lives. Is that okay? So we're going to break bread in a second. Remember the bread and the wine, this is just simply, it's simply grape juice, non-alcoholic grape juice, some simple bread, simple crackers. I'm going to invite you to come with your friends, come with your family, come with your kids, but by all means, make sure you come and break bread tonight and give thanks to God. Can we give thanks one more time before we do? Would you mind showing your hands up if you're willing? Let's raise our hands before the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that you have done it all. Lord, I thank you that you said it is finished. Lord, I thank you that you have hidden manna, stored up for everyone in this hall right now. You've hidden manna, stored up, Lord, for the lives of them and for those that they love. Lord, we pray that we would have eyes of faith to see your goodness at work in our lives. But we begin tonight, Lord, by thanking you for what you have already done. And we know that this is your character. What you have already done, you will do again. Amen. Lord, bless us as we break bread and remember your broken body for us. And remembering that your spilled blood for us, Lord. And remembering that him who did not spare his son but gave him for us all, will he not also with him give us all things? Amen. We commit ourselves into your hands as we break bread now. In Jesus' mighty name, and God's people say,
Amen.
It says in the Bible that Joshua lingered in the tabernacle of the Lord. When everyone went home, he lingered. And many people would say to you, it's 9:15 on a Saturday night. Are you still in that church? We're still with Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you stand as we come to close our meeting tonight? Remember, we're serving coffee upstairs and tea if you want. Any upstairs in the atrium. And can I also remind you, you can sign up for Fighting Men here, or you can sign up for the International Feast. But we want to thank God for what, to me anyway, was a wonderful evening. Hallelujah. Where would you like? If you were over there drinking or whatever, it would never be as good. Because taste and see that the Lord is good. He's way better than anything that can be offered out there. We're going to thank God for coming and touching us tonight. Amen. You're welcome to lift your hands for the last time if you want to. Thank you, Lord, that you're the healer. You're the provider. You're the Savior, and you're the soon coming King. Soon and very soon, you will return to this earth. And we want to say, God, we'll be ready. We'll be ready. Our hearts are close to you. So I pray for every bed that will be slept in tonight. May the peace of God be upon you in your bed. I pray against terror in the night, and I pray your dreams would be the dreams of heaven. Amen. And may you wake tomorrow fresh and whole and full, because God has blessed you. So thank you, Lord. We're forever in your debt. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.